Chapter 11. Now on the following day, the king seized the opportunity, asking the next guest,
"What is the worst type of neglect?"
"If a man is neglectful of his children,"
he declared,
"and does not devote every endeavor to bringing them up. For we continually plead with God for ourselves, as well as for our children, that every blessing may rest upon them. Our petition that our children may have some discretion is something which comes to pass only by the power of God."
Now the king, after declaring that he had spoken well, asked another guest,
"How can a man be a patriot?"
He spoke,
"By adopting the view that it is a noble thing to live and to die in one's own country. Residence abroad produces contempt upon the poor and disgrace upon the rich, as though they had been exiled for crimes. By doing good to all, while you continually carry out this policy, you will undoubtedly be a patriot, God giving you favor in the sight of all."
Now the king, after hearing this man, asked the next in order,
"How can a man reach agreement with a woman?"
He declared,
"By recognizing that the female sex is headstrong and energetic in the pursuit of what they desire, easily liable to sudden changes of opinion through fallacious reasoning and of naturally weak constitution. It is necessary to have dealings with them in a sound way, avoiding provocation which may lead to a quarrel. Life prospers when the helmsman knows the goal toward which he ought to direct his course. It is only by calling upon the help of God that a man can steer a true course of life at all times."
Now the king, after giving assent to this man, asked the next guest,
"How can a man be free from fault?"
Now he declared,
"By doing everything with considered judgment, not influenced by misrepresentations, but being your own judge of what is said, and by your own judgment, rightly deciding the petitions made to you, and through your judgment, bringing them to pass. That is how you would be free from fault, O King. But to have these intentions and to conduct oneself in the light of them is a task involving God's power."
Now the king, being cheered by what was stated, asked another guest,
"How can a man be free from fury?"
He spoke in reply to the question,
"By realizing that he has absolute power, even to inflict death upon them, should he give way to fury. However, this is indeed a useless and painful thing to do if many are deprived of life simply because he is Lord. But if all are obedient and there is no opposition, what will be the point of becoming furious? It is necessary to know that God governs the whole universe in the spirit of kindness and without any fury. And you, O King, must follow him,"
he declared. Now the king, after declaring that he had given a beautiful answer, inquired of the next guest,
"What is sound judgment?"
"Doing everything well at all times with due consultation,"
he explained.
"Comparing what is advantageous to your own policy with the harmless effects that would result from adopting the opposing view, in order that after weighing such detail, our deliberations may be good and our purpose achieved. And most important of all, it is by the power of God that your every purpose will be accomplished, if you practice piety.
Now the king, after speaking that this man had also done well, he asked another,
"What is philosophy?"
"To have a well-reasoned assessment of each occurrence,"
he explained,
"and not to be carried away by impulses, but to carefully study the harmful consequences of the passions, and by exercising proper and necessary restraint in carrying out what the circumstances demand. But in order to have due care for these things, it is necessary to serve God."
Now the king, after applauding this man, asked another,
"How can a man find welcome abroad among strangers?"
"By treating everyone equal,"
he declared,
"and by appearing inferior rather than superior to those among whom he is a stranger. For in general, God, by his very nature, welcomes the humble, and the human race deals kindly with those who willingly put themselves into subjection."
Now the king, after testifying to these sentiments, asked another guest,
"How will the structure which a man builds survive in the future as well?"
He spoke in answer to the question,
"If his creations are great and glorious, so that those who see them show forbearance because of their beauty, and if he never neglects a single one of those who carry out such works, and never compels the rest to minister to his needs without receiving wages, and by considering how God cares for the human race in providing them with health and discernment and such like, he will himself follow this example by paying some compensation for their arduous labor. For the deeds which are of permanent value are those performed out of righteousness."
Now the king, after declaring that this man had spoken well, asked the 10th guest,
"What is the fruit of wisdom?"
Now he spoke,
"A clear conscience of having done no evil, and of living one's life in truth. From these result for you the greatest joy and a steadfast soul, O mighty king, and good hopes in God, as you rule your realm with due reverence."
Now when they had heard this, everyone voiced their approval with a loud applause. And after this, the king, filled with joy, proceeded to drink to their health.